You know when you're locked in, focused, and fearless.
Welcome to the WNBA.
Your vision narrows. You can't look away. Every assist, every stop, every logo three.
From beyond the logo.
Every did you see that moment?
You bet.
What records are going to be broken this season?
All of it, right here. Lock in. It's the WNBA on ESPN. All season long.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show, live from Canton, Ohio, home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Steve Hutchinson. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, ESPN broadcaster Chris Berman, Pro Football Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, Pro Football Hall of Famer Willie Rofe, Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee Luke Kuechly, and now, Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and I'm so psyched to be here live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame Museum in Canton, Ohio. Tonight's the Jacket Dinner. Tomorrow's the Enshrinement. Saturday, we just had the Hall of Fame game. Last night, Steve Hutchinson in hour number one, and we kick off hour number two with one of my favorite human beings. He's known as Uncle Marshall in my household by my three children. He is a Pro Football Hall of Famer from the Canton class of 2011, an MVP, a Super Bowl, and he's an MVP, a three-time Offensive Player of the Year, a three-time All-Pro, a seven-time Pro Bowler. He's not in just one, but two rings of honor, ladies and gentlemen. Head coach of Southern University Jaguars football, Marshall Faulk. Good to see you, sir. How are
What's
you?
What's up, Rich Eisen?
No, I'm good. They're clapping back in Los Angeles.
We're clapping for you, Marshall. Let's go, baby.
He can hear you. He's got ears in.
Yeah. Guys.
Marshall's got ears
Marshall.
In.
Brock.
Good to see you, dude.
You got Del Tufo?
Yeah.
Del Tufo's there, too?
Yeah.
Because you got to acknowledge him.
Man.
He'll be upset if you don't
see
him.
I know. I love Tuito, man.
Okay. How you doing?
Doing good, Rich. Doing good. Living that head coach life, you know?
What is what? No, I don't know that head coach.
That's
line.
Why I say you don't. You know, Rich, it's like having your own show. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of fires you got to put out. A lot of things happening. A lot of meetings.
Right. You like it though?
Yeah, it's fun. Learning the back end of things and how all of the operational stuff of being a head coach work. It's been fun. I've really enjoyed that part of it. The part of just working with the kids and coaching, just being around football.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. That's the easy part, you know. Like and part of the reason, and I'm glad when I made the decision, I made it. And I remember because Coach Martz was just down at Southern. He spent like 4 or 5 days with us,
yeah,
and just was you know, looking at operations, giving me some insight, working on the different things you work on as you're getting ready for the season. And he was telling me about when I was getting ready to retire that I'll one day coach, but probably not soon because I wasn't going to want to do all the back office stuff.
Right.
And now I see what he was talking about in a sense.
Now there's more back office stuff than ever. And when he was telling you that there was no NIL portal, you know, needing a general manager, things like
right.
that. There's
but
none
the,
of that.
But the back office stuff now is real business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the stuff that it was back in the day when
well, you know
my
that.
College head coach. It's so much different now.
Right.
And we're talking straight business. Like, it's all business. The kids, they look at you and they be like, I want money.
Mm. Well, you're used to that in real life.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That's literally what they do. And,
yes.
And I just believe that the state of the game right now, it's not as best in college football, but it's continuously getting better. I think every year some new things will pop up. And we'll create some rules and fix it and put a patch on it. But I am going to say paying the players has really, really helped the game.
It has.
It has.
I'll give you the floor on that.
In a sense, we now get to see, we called it amateur sports, but it really isn't.
Correct.
It never has been. And I keep trying to figure this out, Rich. Where was Michigan and Ohio State and where were they putting all this money? Mm. Where was this money going when they weren't paying it to the players?
Mm.
I just can't figure out where it was going. But
yeah,
now,
and you can figure it out. Like I know I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Where was it going?
This guy over here.
I'm just trying to figure it
facilities?
Out.
Facilities.
Yeah.
It's a very nice gym. They got
they're still
nice
building gym. Facilities. But anyways, Rich, literally allowing these kids
yes.
to partake in the money that's being made.
Right.
When you look at the playoffs and the money that's being made in that, it's unbelievable. The TV deals in college football right now through the roof.
How do you keep up with the money game, though, at Southern University? How do you do that?
Oh, well, I'm not trying to keep up. I'm just trying to get my kids to the money game. The money game is in the FBS. Mm-hmm. You got to be in the power at a power 3, 4, or 5 to really make the kind of money. I mean,
so you.
I remember
you tell this to the kids when they show up.
Yes, yes, Rich. I mean, I remember trying to get to the NFL as fast as possible,
mm-hmm.
and now you got guys 29 years old trying to get a year of eligibility in college just because he doesn't want to take a pay cut going to the league. Carson Beckett's making less money. Beckett's making right. less money at Arizona than he did when he was at Miami.
Yeah, right. And probably taking as many of the same number of classes.
Exactly.
Didn't he say that at the week leading up to the national championship game, he hadn't been in a classroom in over a year?
Hadn't been in a class over a year.
That's what he said.
But, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, when guys are partitioning to go back to college, you don't like school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it's all about. I think it'll all get fixed, Rich. I believe so. I don't know. I don't think
it's the government that's going to fix it, despite this bill that's apparently going to get voted on, you know, before the Senate breaks.
Our government?
I know that.
They're going to fix football?
I know that.
So, our government?
I know that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So when it comes down to it, though,
Hey, Rich, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And people are going to think I'm taking shots.
Go ahead.
And Saban's a part of the group that's helping them, right?
Yes.
Okay. He forgot he helped create this. This is Alabama. This is everybody wanted to play. And I mean, like, he might be the perfect guy because, you know, he understands the landscape.
I'm just wondering, can we fix it to the point where the players get what they deserve, that the players who are told what they're getting get what they're supposed to be getting, and that everybody plays by the same rules? And that there is some form of a contract that would also make sure that a player stays in a certain spot for a certain amount of time, that they get what they're supposed to be getting, that they get market value for what they deliver on the field. Basically, can we professionalize this thing? And then how do you do that? Who's in charge? And who's in the boat? You know what I mean? Who's in this new version of college football? Who's involved? What schools are? That's the question. But from your perspective of coaching, you enjoy the chatter with the players.
Oh, it's fun.
Okay,
it's fun.
And what type of coach are like? Whose demeanor do you have? I know I don't think you're a screamer. You're not a screamer.
Not at all.
No, you're one of those guys like Dungy. Like don't if you give somebody a look. Like that, you don't want to be on the business end of a Coach Falk look. That's the way.
I consider myself a teacher. Like, I'm an educator when it comes to the game because
right.
I can get upset, and I do. And when I do, I walk away. I deal with that. But it's the education portion of it. Like, mm-hmm. how do I get this kid to understand what we want him to do?
Right.
That's the whole idea of it. And some coaches believe that screaming and yelling is how you get it done. Some coaches think that you cuss the player out. To me, it's just like the question is, how do I get him better? How do I get him to understand?
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is through teaching. Like, you got to teach them. They need to be taught.
Let's talk a little bit of football heaven since we're sitting in it. And this has been now.
Right.
My God, that line of yours is now 15 years old.
Right? That 15, I was literally, somebody, I got asked the other day, hey, man, how long you been coming back? I was like, 15 years.
15 years, Marshall.
15
years. You've been coming back as a Hall of Famer longer than you played.
There you go. There you
go. By now 3 years, and it's pretty amazing. Man, you went in with Dion. You went in with Shannon, just to name two other ones. Richard Dent.
Sable.
Ed Sable was going in as well. And, you know, the neat part about everything now, like you got, again, your presenter. We got a picture of Rocky Arsenault, your longtime agent.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Boat Game himself. He's in the Hall of Fame for the boat game, as we all know. But if the rules were different now, the rules were different then as they are currently, which is you'd choose a returning Hall of Famer to put the jacket on you. You chose a Jim Brown? Is that who you would have chosen?
It would have been very tough because Jim, I love Jim.
Right.
Tony Dorsett was just my guy, man. I was like, I wore 33 in high school because I hated the Cowboys, but loved Tony. Just loved how he ran the football. Walter Payton is just Walter Payton.
I don't know if he was.
I'm just right. I'm just you're, saying like guys that came. Guys. And then the guy who was responsible for me getting to the Rams was Eric Dickerson. Somebody that when I was in college, Eric came and watched me play at San Diego State, and kind of you know mentored me in a sense, and just would always talk about the NFL. I've known Eric for so long, and then our careers kind of
that'd have been tight then.
Went the opposite, like he went from the Rams to the Colts, and I went from the Colts to the Rams.
Yeah. So he was how was he responsible to getting you to the Rams?
The year that things were not going well in Indiana. Mm-hmm. We were at the Pro Bowl. It was his Hall of Fame year.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember they used to go to the Pro Bowl right. after. And the Rams threw him a party. And I went to his party. And he introduced me to John Shaw. And then afterwards, John was like, oh, that Marshall Faulk. He made some comment. And then Eric told him, because we were just having a conversation. Eric said, yeah, I feel bad for Marshall. He's, you know, it's just things aren't going well. It sometimes it's difficult to deal with the Colts, especially because the dad had passed away. So things kind of changed once the dad passed away. And Eric was like, it was easier dealing with the dad. And now I don't know who's dealing with. And that right there, John took that information back. And they were like, because we practiced against each other the year before. In training camp, we had a joint training camp practice, and that's when they made the trade.
And then you become a Ram, and mm-hmm. obviously now here we are 15 years removed yep. from your enshrinement in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yep. I did not know that story, yeah. and I thought I knew everything about your career and how you got to places.
It was Eric Dickerson who mentioned to the brass of the Rams, which was John Shaw and Jay Zigman at the time, hey, you know, Marshall Faulk, he might be available because I was looking for a new contract. I didn't like the way the organization was going. And I mean, listen, we were becoming pass-centric. I mean, we just got Peyton Manning. I mean, come on. Like, that's what we were doing. And I was like, man, the writing is on the wall. I don't know if we're going to win while I'm here with a young quarterback. And I was – Rich, I was actually right. I left, won the Super Bowl. The year that I retired, we worked the Super Bowl when the Colts won.
That's right.
You know, literally.
And now Edge, who basically took your spot,
yeah.
he's in the same bus gallery as you.
There you go.
Worked yeah. out for everybody.
It did.
Worked
it did.
Out for everybody, including Bill Polian, who's yeah. in the bus gallery.
He's even in here.
Dude.
What?
Why'd you say he's even in here?
What? What? Did I say that? My bad. My bad. My bad.
Thank you, Marshall.
Del Tufo, it's not that funny. My bad. I didn't mean that no, like that.
Yeah.
Oh my God! What do you think of the money that Bijan and Gibbs and Jonathan Taylor just in the past 24-48 hours are signing?
You know, Rich. Here's what. And they get pissed off when I do this kind of stuff. But the reality is, if you're good enough, they'll pay you. These backs that were not getting paid,
yes,
they weren't good enough. They were not good enough. This is. It's not like, oh, the resurgence of the running back. Nothing happened in the last two Super Bowls to where nothing. Not one thing. Like Saquon had a season. It was awesome, but does that get Jahmyr Gibbs paid? No. Jonathan Taylor? No. if you are good enough and the team feels as if, hey, we can build around you.
Mm-hmm.
And then your best, and when your best ability is availability, that's when this happens.
But Saquon getting paid off of that season raised a bar for the market that now it keeps getting reset.
They don't care about the market when it comes to running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They do not. In the same sense, Seattle wins the Super Bowl, and what do they do to their star running back?
Mm-hmm.
They just let him go. Go somewhere else.
He won the MVP of the Super Bowl.
I'm just saying, Rich. It's just the state of the position. When teams feel like that they can build around you and win with you mm-hmm. in that manner, that's the case. And I feel bad for Kenneth Walker because he had a heck of a year. He's a guy that I feel like you can build around. But they felt like he was just a part of, just a piece, not a build around. He wasn't a centerpiece. He was just a piece. And that's why they moved on. You don't get rid of centerpieces.
Do you think Kenneth Walker's going to have a 1,000-yard season?
Yes, easy.
You think the Chiefs will get, because Chiefs haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since Kareem Hunt's rookie season.
Just Marshall. Hear me out, okay? I'll share this with you. In this whole fantasy world for you fantasy players,
okay,
if you draft them running backs on your team and they don't have a quarterback because you think, oh, they don't have a quarterback, they'll run it more, he's not going to have a great year. If Sam Darnold doesn't have the year that he had,
right,
Kenneth Walker doesn't have that year.
With Charbonnet, too.
It just goes hand in hand. Most of the times, the guys who put up the better numbers, you got to have a quarterback that's going to take some of the pressure off you when they stack the box.
And Mahomes is that guy.
There's no way. Yeah, no. There's no way they're going to drop a safety down into the box to stop the run against Kansas City. No way.
So you think he's poised to have a
easy
year?
Like easy.
All right. We just had a what's more likely. Chris, you want to ask the what's more likely question we had me put? Have you put a pin in? You want to ask that of Marshall?
Yeah, Marshall. Which of the running backs that got paid this week is more likely to finish top three MVP voting this year?
Gibbs? Is it?
Yeah, Bijan Gibbs, and we can throw Jonathan Taylor in there as well. Yeah.
Which one?
I'm going with the guy who has the better quarterback, Gibbs.
Hmm.
It just factors in. When you play Atlanta, who are you gearing up for? What quarterback are you worried about?
Okay. There's Tua. There's Penix. And there's Goff, what you're talking about in this equation.
There you go.
And Daniel Jones.
There you go. The proof is it. They're going to be forced. They'll drop a safety down. They'll force the quarterback. Both teams, Atlanta and the Colts, they're going to have to throw the ball and prove that they can consistently win throwing the football.
Okay. So let's remove the quarterbacks from the equation and just pure talent. The best running back in the National Football League at present.
I go Saquon.
You still go Saquon?
I go Saquon, yeah.
What about Derrick Henry?
I like him.
He's going to be in that bus gallery with you one day.
But here's the reality. If you asked Eric Dickerson, he'd probably say Derrick Henry. But you're asking me. You know, and for me, it's I need guys who play. And I know he started to. You play all three downs. You can run inside and out. You can catch the ball. You can block. You know.
How about the guy that when he came out of college and everybody said he's not going to be able to run between the tackles? You told me at the combine, over and over again while watching him in Stanford, saying this guy is going to do it. It's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
You were telling me about him all throughout his run at the Heisman. At the combine, you're like, this business that he's not going to be able to run the tackles, that's nonsense. And then you see, and then he ran the best route tree at the combine of anybody, receiver or running back. Mm-hmm. He's turning 30 this year.
I know.
What do you think about him?
He's still one of the top backs. The thing with Christian right now is availability. He started to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you've lacked the talent at quarterback in San Francisco, so you rely on your running game a lot.
You think Purdy is not as talented?
No. I said
they had.
Yeah. Even as Purdy was coming through,
yes,
they were a running the ball first and second
mm-hmm.
type of team and throw third. So that took a lot on him. That banging, it took a lot. Now, I look at him, and they're going to be smart the way they use him. This is just me. This is thinking,
yes,
hoping that they spot play him at times, get him to the postseason, and then let him run wild. That's what you do. That's what everybody does. It's all about the quarterback until you get to the playoffs. As soon as you talk playoffs, you don't say, whose quarterback could get the most first downs or right. most completions. You always say who plays defense and who can run the ball.
Guys, Lane Kiffin isn't the only coach in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Saying.
I like that one, Rich. That's a good one.
Use it.
I use it.
Use it.
I do.
I cannot wait for the opener at Alabama State on August 29th, and then your home opener at home in A.W. Mumford Stadium.
A.W. Mumford Stadium.
Against Kentucky State on the 5th of September. I will have my eyes peeled. As you know, I should be in charge of any replay system that you've got going on.
We got you.
Okay. I'm happy. Use me as a resource is all
that,
I'm saying.
There's one more thing I put you in charge of.
Amazing.
The coat rack.
This guy, man. Those coat racks were not put together properly, and they fell on me, and you loved watching me suffer.
Go all Rich Eisen.
On these Thursday night.
Go all Rich Eisen.
We're sitting there in these tight trailers. You know? We're sitting there in these tight trailers.
You know, Rich, I don't know how you felt, but when I saw NFL Network self what it sold for, I was thinking about...
They couldn't afford a coat rack.
That little bitty desk in Kansas City.
Dude, our first Thursday night football.
Oh, God.
On a Thanksgiving night. Oh. Yeah, Del Tufo's oh-godding because you had to set that damn thing
yes.
up.
Yes.
Oh, it was the terrible. Desk was so small, oh. I had to lean to the right to oh. get out of Rich's well, no, yeah. single.
Listen, my favorite thing, or what your favorite thing that you used to do all the damn time, is the couch would be like this one. I'd be sitting right there on the edge. And instead of you taking the space all the way at the end of the couch, you just pushed up against me.
Right next to you, Rich.
While I'm writing my notes and everything like that. And then the coat rack's falling apart. And you just
brothers. We're brothers.
We still are. That's Marshall Faulk, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody root for some Southern University
Absolutely.
Football, everybody.
Yeah.
That's Marshall. Chris Berman is just settled into our set. He's going to be joining us next. And Rod Woodson, right here on the Rich Eisen Show,
Good
live
luck, Marshall.
From Canton, Ohio. Rich Eisen here. Running a small business means every hire matters. A bad hire costs time and money, but the right one helps your business grow. The challenge? Finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, you can hire with confidence and build the team you need. Join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at linkedin.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high-interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debtplay. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debtplay.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Just returned Chris Berman here on the Rich Eisen Show, the master of ceremonies of tomorrow's events in the Tom Benson Football Stadium, where
Drew Brees is going in, fittingly.
Yeah, exactly. But you were just mentioning on the radio, TV side of things, now the radio audience is back, that the enshrinement ceremony used to be for years on the steps of the Hall of Fame. And I just took a look at the actual lawn space in between the steps and I-77. And those, and by the way, the steps haven't changed. That's a fixed point. I-77, don't know when it was built. That wasn't moved. I can't believe they used to fit the appropriate amount of people in that space for a Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
No, if you see some, and they have a couple of the tapes here. I mean, not the weekend you're going to wander with everybody, all right. the fans here, but you can see some of them. So there were two that I remember. One was Joe Montana's,
mm-hmm.
and I guess Ronnie, and I think they all. And I was at a couple of Pittsburgh ones.
Yes.
They were Pittsburgh is what, 2 hours, it's whatever it is?
Yep.
Hanging off the interstate. I mean, sitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, with the trucks going by at 70 miles an hour. I went, oh, my God. Because all of Pittsburgh was here for a Bradshaw I covered. I wasn't the MC yet, but mm-hmm. they were like, oh, my. All those Steelers. I mean, every year you had at least one Steeler.
Right. Which, and the person who changed it, as you know, and I'll just say here, it was Jim Kelly.
Correct.
Because you can draw a line from Buffalo, New York to Pittsburgh, PA, where he's from, all the way down to Canton, Ohio. It's almost like a geographical straight line. Obviously, you're zigzagging a little bit. And they just decided,
stadium, let's try it.
Let's try, because they couldn't fit these people in that space.
2002.
Yeah.
And I went out to do this to the mic, you know, like 30 minutes before just to test it.
Right.
And I'm kind of, I'm not Jim Kelly. I'm not Andre Reed. I'm not Thurman Thomas. I'm not Bruce Smith. We could go on and on and on.
Yes.
But I'm Buffalo, as you know.
Yes, sir.
And so just me doing this, the crowd erupted. Because they had driven war, the campers the night before, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
And I went, within 1 minute, Rich, I went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is a Buffalo home game. I never looked at it. Okay, we got stadium. What will malfunction? How is it going to be?
Yes.
And they were already there, like, in Bills. And there were a good 10, 12, 14, 15. It was first stadium one.
Yeah.
All I was doing this. They were tapping ready. The mic.
They were ready.
Oh, my God. So that was, but I will tell you this one story. And yes. Joe Hargan, you can talk to him about another time. The first reunion they had was maybe, so the Ted Williams All-Star Game, baseball had everybody back in 99 at Fenway. There's a reason I'm going here, which was unbelievable.
Yep.
And they all went out to their positions. And there's Willie Mays standing in the outfield, but there's Frank Robinson, but there's Stan Musial. But that, I mean, we could go on and on and on.
Nuts.
But that was unbelievable. Football, ooh, we haven't had one of those. And they tried to get everybody back. And I want to say it was 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at noon, but they would come off the buses like, there was no order of when I was introducing. They had never had this many people come back. I don't think they'd ever had, like, I remember there were less Hall of Famers 25 years ago,
sure,
obviously, but only open in 63. So one by one, but I'm at the mic. I don't know who's next. There's no order. It's when they got off the bus.
Mm.
And I don't know them all by sight. And Joe Horgan would try to run and hand me a card. I mean, I know who Joe Namath is. I know who Gale Sayers is. But Otto Graham, you know, and the place would go nuts.
Yeah.
And each one would come out and give a, and that was on the steps. And I think they knew right then and there, we're outgrowing this.
We're outgrowing it.
And so I've done every one in the stadium except the one you did when I was not fortunate enough to present Mr. Wilson.
Ralph Wilson Jr., that was 2009. Rod Woodson's our next guest here after our chat with you, Chris Berman, and he was in that class. And I'll never forget that day because you presented Ralph Wilson Jr.
Oh, man.
And this was back in the day when the presenters were speaking, giving a speech. Now they're sitting down and giving a
better
video.
Now.
Well, I just remember that night, again, because you present Ralph Wilson Jr., and one by one, the presenters would then come up and speak on behalf. So when you're speaking, you couldn't speak and MC as well. So I got the call to the bullpen, and you were you were awesome to me, man. Like the night before, you pulled me over. You're like, you know, when you do this tomorrow, I'm sure you remember this. You're like, I just got one thing to tell you. And you said, don't F it up.
And you didn't. other words, you're coachable.
Exactly. And so, but I do recall, though, that at one point, I'll tell this story.
Why not?
Why not, right? So, Bullet Bob Hayes and Derek Thomas were also in the class. And they were getting in posthumously. Both had passed. Mm. And the hall said, just to keep everything running on time, those who are presenting the posthumous Hall of Famers, please keep your remarks to 5 minutes. Bullet Bob Hayes was introduced by Roger Staubach. Good Navy man. He went 5 minutes on the dot. Walked off.
I remember.
Carl Peterson spoke for Derek Thomas for 23 and a half minutes. To the point where midway through, I got up, And I went off stage to find Joe Horgan, who you're mentioning. He's basically a keeper of the flame here, runs the shop. He wouldn't like being called that way because he's such a sweet, humble man. But I went and found him, and I'm like, what do I do? You know? And he basically said, you can't do anything. And I turn around, and as I go back to my spot, Roger Staubach is standing right in front of me. And he says, Rich, I was told to go just 5 minutes. I'd have spoken longer if I could. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh, my God, Roger Staubach is upset with me. what do I do? I'm like, where's Berman the 1 year that I could?
Well,
you know, like I'm in the middle of this right now. What the heck?
Well, here's the thing. There were no presenter speeches after that year.
I know that was the...
I figured I was the problem. But I went about...
No.
Well, Ralph was, at that point, 90 and quite sharp still. I went about 10 or 12. I mean, I can go long on anything, but...
Nice.
But once you remind people that he served in both theaters of World War II...
Right.
Whoa. I'm not shortening that.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Atlantic, then later in the Pacific. Oh, by the way, he owned the Buffalo Bills from day one to...
Right.
To day six, you know, to year 60 or whatever. So, yeah, that was the last year of that, the presenter speech.
Yeah, because Ted Cottrell went after Carl and spoke longer than Bruce Smith did. That was
the end of it.
That's what we call the coup de grace of all of that. But in your tenure, did you ever have a moment? Like, because, again, part of me was like, oh, my God, Roger Staubach is upset with me. And the other part of me just remembers growing up in my basement in Staten Island, New York, watching the Tom Landry Cowboys in that offensive line that would get up and then reset.
Oh, God,
and,
yes.
And I'm thinking, part of me was also, oh, my God, this is Roger Staubach. This is the coolest thing ever. Have you had that moment as an MC?
Not here, but here's what came to my mind when you were telling me that story. Please. Have I ever? Because you can't get up and pull a Hall of Famer off.
No.
It's not up to me anyway. I mean, we just work here, Rich. Would you like it? Would you like me to supersize your French fries? You know, the number two meal, like apple pie on the house. I can do that.
Sure,
okay,
right.
Kind of like I am at ESPN now. Would you like an apple pie? I can add one.
Yes,
so right. I'm kidding, of course. But I had a moment, different thing, but a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
So it was at the Ivy League football dinner, which we have every couple of years, and each of the eight schools has someone who, whether they were a pro football player or not, or something had to do with football, and there are eight of them, and mm-hmm. I'm an MC for half of it, and Jack Ford is MC for the other half, mm-hmm. and, you know, we Chuck Bednarik, Penn, mm-hmm. and this is a while ago.
Sure.
You know, and Chuck Concrete Charlie, the toughest player. Well, there are many in his category, but no above him.
Correct.
Okay. And even though he's much later in years and he was, you know, battling some things, and he told the same story, not back to back to back, but for the third time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about 15 minutes in, and I knew he hadn't really gotten, he'd gotten somewhere, but he hadn't gotten anywhere. And this is Chuck Bednarik. He might turn around and slug me, even though he knows me, sure. But, you know. I kind of walked up gingerly. Not he didn't really see me yet, but then you make a little shuffle and
sure.
He noticed something was going. And I put my arm around him, and we got through it. Like he didn't know right away why, but they finished
sure.
like two more sentences, and thank you very much for this honor.
Yes,
you know, and that breath of relief. You can still hear it today.
I bet, man.
I thought I was in trouble.
I bet. That is not a, I mean.
So not here, but similar. Okay?
Got it. But you've never had one of those moments
here?
Like this, a Hall of Fame, like Jim
well,
Brown.
Well, they go on.
Jim Brown, I mean, you know.
Well.
You got that.
Yeah, I'm friends with all of them, so.
I know that. I know.
So. It's their moment, you know.
Got it.
And it's. You know, was flustered by the shortened, which had been shortened more ever since,
right.
You know. Well, not ever since, but as we move on, Peyton. Because, you know, Peyton within two minutes, he goes, oh, my God, I can't believe I only have 6 minutes to go. Like, I have so much to say.
Well, I mean, Peyton Manning also, his speech was produced where they had photographs that matched everything that he was talking about. Right. I mean, that was one of the most beautifully produced of speeches course. I've ever seen. Yeah. I know it's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Right. The King of Omaha had it all scripted out with the photographs to match when he was talking. It really was beautiful. Last one for you here. Speaking of no one circles the wagons, the opener for the new Bills Stadium is a Thursday night.
I know.
Does that work for your schedule? I don't want to reveal anything or whatever.
No, I don't think so. I committed to something long before somewhere totally else. We'll see.
Okay.
That'd be
a big thing, obviously.
That's a big deal.
Could you imagine if the Bills finally do it in a year where they open their new stadium?
In a house that Josh would never want me to say this. Mm-hmm. So, and this would be,
I know,
in the house that Josh helped build. Put
agree.
It that way. Obviously, he didn't, but.
Hey, listen.
Why wouldn't they?
The fact that Lucas Oil happens after Peyton Manning's been there for a couple of years, you know, I mean, these obviously.
And they could. I mean,
they
could every year.
Right.
I mean, Josh Allen's still quarterback.
He sure is.
So, who's. There's no clear-cut Seattle Rams in the AFC as we sit here in early August to start analyzing. It would be an unbelievable thing.
Right.
It would be. I may get up there before that in late August to
okay.
do some interviews, and they already said, well, we got to take you in. You know, that stadium was built on time. When's the last construction project, highway, your driveway, or stadium that you know, I mean, bathroom addition?
That's right.
When's the last construction project that you know that was done on time or ahead of time?
Respect.
So
sure.
That's going to be quite a scene. I got to try to. Before the schedule comes out, I mean, I had committed to something. It's
understood.
Like, yeah.
No, I just took a stab. Yeah. See that.
No. It's funny. I get to Canton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do this. We write our stuff. You have the dinner. I write my stuff for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I visit with people. Sometimes I'll change a few things Saturday morning for Saturday because I heard a story from a teammate that's better than if I say this,
yes.
You know, that type of
those
stuff.
Those can come tonight post-jacket dinner.
Yeah, no, that's
out.
Exactly when a lot of them come.
Yeah, sort of, right.
Two beers in.
That's right.
So, and then I kind of look at now what do we got? Not who's playing in
sure.
September, but okay, do this. Like Pete Rozelle, the late Pete Rozelle. I know you got other guests, but
go ahead.
Pete Rozelle used to say, because I would do the draft, and when I first year I hosted, I don't mean was on it, but hosted, he was still the commissioner, and then he'd clear the deck, and you'd have just me and the commissioners. I'm sitting here with Pete Rozelle. But he would always say, you know, the draft is our time to look forward. And he goes, and then the Hall of Fame, which is before any game is played, the game usually played a day or two after the ceremony, it's time to look back, and then we have the season. And I never forgot that. It's so simple. It's like Chauncey Gardner, right? Like, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, so this is, we look back, and there's like 100, 1,520 Hall of Famers. The list is longer than usual.
That's right.
You're gonna have it's a hell of a class.
You're gonna have a long roll call tomorrow. That's for sure.
Well, it's a hell of a class, which you've talked about. But mm-hmm. when you get the second leading passer, and you get the leading scorer, and you get the second leading receiver,
mm-hmm.
and you get the second youngest guy, Luke Kuechly, younger than Jim Brown to
right.
go in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
When I read that, I was like, "What?"
I know.
I mean, only Gale Sayers was younger. I mean, by a couple months, but. Luke is younger than Jim and Barry Sanders, but mm-hmm. hello. And then you have Roger Craig, who
been waiting forever.
There's only three. Well, you just had the last one, Marshall Faulk. Well, one of them, only three guys ever to do the 1,000 in 1 year. Like, this is pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a stat for you here tomorrow, which you could do the math, but I always like doing this stuff when I was doing NFL countdown and stuff like this in prime time. So Drew is thrown for 80,000 and whatever yards, right? 80,000 yards. 46 miles. That's, as I'm going to say tomorrow, I'm giving it away. That's over halfway from New Orleans to Baton Rouge.
Pretty
okay,
cool.
I looked it up.
You looked it up?
Well, it's like 80 miles or something.
Geographic research.
Yeah, I'm a geography guy. 40, almost 46 miles of throwing.
I love it.
Didn't your shoulder hurt when you hear it?
No.
So listen, you're going to have a blast tonight. You do such a good job with this.
Right back at you. Thank you, Chris.
And you do the Michigan-Ohio State thing every year.
Oh, God.
All I got to do is get up to the mic on Saturday and give them one back, and then I can move ahead.
Right. Nobody's
going to get... They don't get upset with me. They get upset with you.
No, I know, because, there's no natural-born rival of Brown here in Ohio. You know,
not that I've heard of. All right, one little Drew Brees story.
Sure, okay. Go for it.
And Drew will turn around when I say this, when I do it.
Mm-hmm.
We recruited him at Brown.
And? You went to
Purdue. You wonder how good he could have been if he didn't go to Purdue. I am going to say that. Right at the end, I'm going to go, Drew, you know I'm not leaving this podium until I tell you. Because we laugh about it. He was recruited. I mean, not that many. We weren't division. Well, yeah. We were then. But what I want to remind him is we went to a Rose Bowl before Purdue ever did, pal.
And if he had done that, he'd have gotten from Midway to Baton Rouge all the way to Baton Rouge.
He might have been lost somewhere. He would have ended up in Shreveport. But you wonder, 80,000, maybe he could have thrown for 100,000 yards if he had just gone to Brown instead of Purdue and played in the Rose Bowl.
Chris Berman is here. It's great to see you, man. Thank you so much.
Listen, what you do for the Hall speaks for itself.
Oh, my
God.
Great
to be with you. And,
coming from you.
Thanks again for that show that we did in San Francisco.
This was SportsCenter. Was outstanding. Great to see you. Chris Berman, everybody, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. We are back to Rod.
Don't blank it up tonight, all right?
Rod Woodson coming up next.
Rich Eisen here for Gusto. On my shows, we talk a lot about what happens in the spotlight, the games, the highlights, and the moments that get replayed and debated. But in any successful operation, what happens behind the scenes matters just as much. Small businesses are no different. Payroll, hiring, onboarding, benefits, and all the details that keep things moving may not be the most visible part of the job, but they still have to be handled right. That's where Gusto comes in. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it. Gusto makes it simple and has options for nearly every budget. And it's all built to save you time with built-in automated tools for offer letters, onboarding docs, direct deposit, and more. Plus, you get unlimited payroll runs for one monthly price. No hidden fees, no surprises. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/rich and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/rich. One more time, gusto.com/rich.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Mentors like Eugene Parker and Roosevelt Barnes, my coaching staff when I first got to Pittsburgh, coaching staff at Purdue to lead me in the right direction. So at that point, it was about giving thanks to them, my wife, who put up with me for now 35 years. And I know I wasn't easy to put up with for 35 years. But, you know, her being there for our kids, because I was always working. I was always trying to train, always trying to get better.
Rod Woodson here on The Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience has returned. We've got about only a few minutes left before the end of the hour. So I want to make sure we get in the fact that you're teaming up with NFL Alumni Health and the One Pill Can Kill
campaign,
which is about what?
So it's really, this is the partnership with the NFL Alumni Health, with the DEA mm-hmm. for the third straight year. Drug-related deaths from the ages 14 is the highest from ages 18 to 44 years old in the United States of America. And the biggest thing we want to get across to the young people is that the social media platform, you can't buy prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go and take cocaine, it'll take quite a bit for you to overdose. If you take painkillers, it'll take quite a bit. But once you put, say, fentanyl, there's only 2 or 3 grains of salt. that can kill you. And it can be mixed in anything. It can be mixed into a weight loss pill, energy pill. It can be mixed into all type of things, painkillers. Mm-hmm. And if you take that, it does not discriminate. It doesn't care what you look like. It doesn't care what you're from. It doesn't care how much money you have in your pocket. It can kill you. It can destroy family. So our biggest thing is you can't buy from social media. Go to your healthcare provider. If you need something, if you need help, go through them. Don't go through social media.
DEA.gov/onepill to learn more. You just got out of the luncheon. What was it like?
I tell you what, it is... Every year when you do the Ray Nitschke Luncheon, mm-hmm. it is so fun to watch. And this one was a tearjerker.
Tearjerker?
Yeah. I mean, it was
because you're not allowed. It's like Fight Club.
You can't.
Right?
You cannot talk about what goes on in there. But it was a lot of great. We had some great speakers. We had some great stories.
Is there again? It's Hall of Famer only.
Yep. That's the only people who go in.
And the only non Hall of Famers in the room are the ones who will become Hall of Famers tomorrow.
Yes,
because right?
they're not Hall of Famers yet.
Not yet.
Because they don't have their jackets.
They don't have the go jackets,
so they're not a Hall of Famers.
Correct.
And the only other people are the people who are serving.
That's it.
That's the only people that can be in the room.
And so what can you at least allow? Why was there a tearjerker? Like what?
I mean, some emotional things. A couple guys' health issues
okay.
was a scare. But they're doing fine. So.
Okay.
That leading up, and then, you know, you have individual people talking, and the first speaker was kind of put everything in perspective as what life is all about. And then, you know, we have our own families, we have our own niches, but to be a Hall of Famer, that's your last family as in the football world, and to use that platform. So it was really, really, really good. It was the best one I've been a part of. And, you know, did everything I could not to cry
really?
In front of the guys. Yeah, because it was a tearjerker.
Because I know that's not your default system.
Yeah, yeah. I try to hold it together, but it was one of those that a couple little tears kind of dropped out.
Oh, wow.
It was. So, if people could just see it, it is, you got all these guys who are so excellent in football, all manly of men, of men, mm-hmm. of men, and they're all breaking down.
Unbelievable. Rod Woodson here to wrap up our second hour on radio.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. See terms.